Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast is a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be sent to DeSantisProd@gmail.com.
Hey, everybody. It is TJ DeSantis. And again, you hear my voice, and it's not the dulcet tones of Bruce Buffer. And you think, damn it, I clicked on the wrong podcast. It's the holiday season. Yeah, we're still kind of recovering, especially off the heels of a crazy, nuts, bizarre, in a roundabout way, but pretty great. UFC 232 card, which took place last Saturday night in the Forum here in Los Angeles. But Buffer finally getting some R&R for the next couple of weeks here, so we're dipping into the archive. And you know, we have almost 400 episodes over the last 10 years, and I'd like to take the opportunity to dip into the archive and have some stuff sort of replayed for people that have been on this bandwagon for a while, but also. What did NBC say back in the day?
Toyota's Labor Day sales event is ending soon. Save big with 0% APR on 13 of Toyota's top-selling models like RAV4, Camry, and Corolla. Don't wait. Toyota's Labor Day sales event ends Monday. Toyota, let's go places. Click the banner or visit buyatoyota.com.
Haven't seen it. It's new to you. Well, you might not have heard this one. Maybe it's new to you. This week on the It's Time podcast, we dip into the archive and play an interview we did in July of 2013 with Robert Herjavec from ABC's Shark Tank. Buffer, the always entrepreneurial-minded Mr. Bruce Buffer, chats with an entrepreneur and capital investor in Robert Herjavec. And I like these kinds of shows. We learn more about the side of Bruce that isn't all fight business, and we get to pick the minds of great entrepreneurial minded people like Robert Herjavec. So sit back, relax, enjoy this interview again from July 2013 with ABC's Shark Tank's Robert Herjavec here on It's Time Radio. We've talked about it time and time again, but at this point I think it's a no-brainer. I don't even think we need to say it, but we might as well. If you're going to bet the games this weekend or fights or really any sport, all of our listeners should be doing it one place, and that's my book.
I agree, because, you know, the important thing is it's not what team or sport you're betting on that's important. It's even more important to know who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. And trust me, they are the best bet this season for your choices. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is really easy to use. So I would only recommend a service like this to my listeners. And the reason why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie is because if you win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for guys out there that love betting on fantasy sports, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. They have all these special things on their site. So basically, join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code BUFFER to activate the offer. That's BUFFER, all in capitals, B-U-F-F-E-R. Visit MyBookie online today. Again, that's MyBookie. That's MyBookie.com. And don't forget to use the promo code BUFFER in capitals when creating your account to claim your bonus.
And like we always say, if you play and you win, you get paid.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, straight from Toronto, Canada. The Shark himself, Robert Herjavec. Robert, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Wow, I feel like you're going fighting somebody, Bruce, after that intro.
Well, you know, I could have even put on a little more. I'd like to see you put up those hands and throw some punches, but are you as wonderful as Mr. Wonderful, or are you as wonderful as Robert Herjavec?
No one's as wonderful. Wonderful is Mr. Wonderful.
In his mind.
In his mind. You know, it's funny. A couple of years ago, I said to him, who calls you Mr. Wonderful? And he goes, well, you just did.
Yeah, you know, I had the pleasure, TJ. Robert invited me to watch the show. They were down here filming a couple weeks ago in L.A. And I thought, you know, I know Mark Cuban. I certainly know my friend and partner, Damon John.
Right.
Robert and I have had the pleasure of getting to know each other over the last few months because he's a huge UFC fan, attends the UFCs. And again, Robert, thank you for the dinner invitation up in Winnipeg. That was very enjoyable. I appreciate that very, very much.
That was a great event, Bruce.
That was a great event. And we're going to get into your love of the UFC after we go into a few more questions here. But I got to tell you, the guy that I was most surprised about, obviously because I hadn't met him, and I met the QVC gal. There's two of them. I forget her name, the one that was there.
Lori.
Very nice. Amazed. I thought Lori was going to get up. She was going to be about 5'8". She got up, and she was about 5 feet tall. It was very cute. But Mr. Wonderful, he's definitely got a wonderful feeling about himself. He was very nice to me, very interesting. We're going to try and have him on the show. But, Robert, I got to ask you, with these other hosts that you work with, and TJ paid you a huge compliment before you came on the show. He says that you are, in essence, we're both saying, watching the show, before I even met you, I felt this way. And even with my partner, Damon John, is a great guy and a huge heart. But Robert, you're the nicest guy on the panel. You're the nicest, most compassionate shark on that panel. When those people come up, I've never seen you put a person, man or woman, to tears. I've certainly seen that happen from Mr. Wonderful. Do you really care about these people? I get a feeling whether you're investing in their business or not. What are your feelings when these people come on? Do you find yourself getting emotional at times?
Yeah, Bruce, I appreciate you guys saying that. Thank you. I do, and I think it's good and bad. I mean, I never take myself out of the position of those people, you know, and I can never be rude to somebody else, even if they're rude to me. You know, I always remember whenever I want to be rude to another person, I always remember my mom saying to me, respect everyone. So I remember what it was like coming up there and having nothing and trying to get ahead. And I remember how scary it is. So I'm okay with putting down the ideas, and I'm okay with putting down the business plans. But I have a hard time sometimes when we go that extra mile and put the person down. I don't think there's ever, you know, a need for that.
And let me jump in here real quick, Bruce. Robert, is there security in the room? Because if I was standing in front of Mr. Wonderful and Kevin said, you're dead to me, or why are you saying thank you for your time when he says I'm out, I just sometimes want to reach through the TV and put him in a rear naked choke.
Oh, my. You know, it's funny you say that because there is no security, which sometimes I think it's funny. After the people come out, they're immediately interviewed by a psychiatrist to make sure they're okay.
Right.
And I always say, what about us? Because someone's going to take a, you know, someone's going to take a whack at Mr. Wonderful one day, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But it's hard, Bruce, because you know what it's like when you film TV. You're sitting there 10 hours a day, and the days are long, and you forget it's TV, and that's why I think the show works. So I think the amplification of who you are comes out. So I don't think Kevin is really, you know, a mean guy all the time. I don't think Mark's pushy all the time. But, you know, when you sit there that long, that part of it comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. It has to. You know, whether it's just through being tired, through putting up with one of your cohorts' positives as well as negatives. You know, and I look at them and I'm wondering, which one do you actually go head-to-head with the most? I can see I like Mark a lot, but being the cutthroat, you know, maverick businessman he is, it's probably hard to agree with him. But do you find him that he's the most analytical when it comes to giving, or who do you think is the most analytical aside from yourself when it comes to making these offers? Mr. Wonderful's offers always seem to fall on licensing, piece of the action till it breaks even, you know, those kind of deals. The QVC deals are quite obvious. Damon's deals whatever.
I think Kevin makes offers that are, you know, he's a shark. So he makes offers that are a fantastic deal for him. I think in most cases the deal's got to work for both parties. And most of these are relatively small businesses. So for me to make a decent return, the business has got to have a lot of growth. So I'm not interested in, you know, a great deal for me. I'm interested in a great deal for the both of us. The only way I'm going to make it worth my time is if these little companies become big companies. But, you know, Mark is by far the most analytical, and over the last few seasons, I've gotten to know him, and we've done some investments together, and he has a great team of people that work with my team of people. He's a great guy to do deals with.
So with the deals that have been done, and you don't have to talk about your own particular deals. I'm not asking for any privy information, but you've been on the air now with Shark Tank. Is it 5 or 6 years? How long has it been, seasons-wise, in America?
We're now filming our fifth season.
Your fifth season, and also you did the Canadian version of Shark Tank. Do you still do that? Is that still on, or you left them to come here?
That's now going into its eighth season, and I left that after season six.
Okay. So based on the American version of Shark Tank and all the deals that you've seen, give us a couple examples of the two biggest deals that have really gestated and grown into fantastic businesses. To give the people listening, the entrepreneurs that are listening, and will be listening as the show is archived, about the beauty of going on Shark Tank. Tell us what the beauty of Shark Tank is, and give us two examples of how well it did and what those companies do. Would you kindly do that?
Yeah, for sure. There's two real advantages of Shark Tank. The first one is, it is venture capital on steroids. I mean, it is like going into the cage in venture capital. If you can survive the Shark Tank, you can survive anything. The pressure, the intensity, the lights, everything. If you can make your way through that and have a great pitch, man, you're going to kill it in the real world. So, I think in life, you look for opportunities to push yourself. Because how do you know you're better? How do you know you're going to get to the next level unless you're willing to risk failure? And I got to tell you, you get in front of us and you survive, you come out stronger and leaner and more confident.
So absolutely agree.
That's a big advantage, because I think a lot of business people are afraid to put themselves out there. They work in their office and they say, oh, I have a great idea, but they never test it. The second big advantage is you've got 8.5 million people watching that show. It is unbelievable publicity and legitimacy for your business, and it helps all across the board. You calling up Walmart and saying, hey, I got a product, I'm some guy, or you calling and saying, I just did a deal on Shark Tank, it's night and day. It's a calling card not only for the people watching and buying your product. Everybody who comes on the show website has crashed because of the number of orders they get from being on the show.
That's awesome.
It's so awesome.
Give us a couple examples of two businesses, just show us some success stories.
For me, there's a product that Lori did called Scrub Daddy. It was from last season. And the guy came on, and I think he was already doing a couple million dollars in sales. In the year that Lori's been working with him, they've done about $13 million, and they just signed a deal to get into Walmart.
So that's huge. That's huge.
Huge. Huge. And this is a product, going to show again, this guy was successful and became more successful, which is an interesting thing, because most people think, well, if I have a successful business, I don't need to go on Shark Tank. The only people that go on Shark Tank are the people whose businesses are in trouble. As an investor, Bruce, I don't want to invest in a business that's in trouble. I want to invest in a business that's doing well that I can make even better. And so Scrub Daddy was one of those. The other big one for me, and at the risk of sounding arrogant, was my investment. We did it 2 years ago, and it was a product called Chord Buddy. And it taught you how to play a guitar. It's kind of like Guitar Hero, but for a real guitar. Anyway, when the fellow Travis came on, he was selling 2 to 3 a day at $39 a day. And a year later, he's done $4 million. We bought a factory in Alabama, and we now employ 20 people.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What kind of sales is he doing now?
$4 million, which is past $4 million.
Wow, that's great. Now, in a business like that, I mean, the profit margin is basically the same as normal business, around 6 or 8%, give or take net, or is there certain businesses, I'm asking a question I kind of have an answer for, but in that business, do you find the profit margins are higher based on keep those bottom lines low and, costs really low and teach these people how to do so they can be more profitable, or do you let them follow their own star because you're only a 10 or 20% owner? I mean, do they really look to you for that kind of direction, or is it really a gamble?
They do, and those are all great points. You know, it's interesting. Most people are pretty good at the amount of money they make when the business is small. Where things fall apart is as they scale. So you've got a guy who's making a good margin on selling a product, and now he goes into wholesale or distribution. He doesn't understand that he should have been making more money along the way. You get a guy that signs a very large retail deal who's making 20 points bottom line, let's say. He thinks he's doing great until he realizes that a lot of the large retailers demand that you take inventory back. So you need more margin than you think you do just to buffer your business.
Gotcha. And I'm not going to ask you for a license fee on using that word, but that's okay.
Yeah.
TJ, you have a question for Robert?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, I think the real big thing that I noticed about watching Shark Tank is I would never, ever watch information about these products if it were paid programming. But it seems like Shark Tank has actually just made everyone not realize they're watching an infomercial. And, you know, I've bought things. I bought a Sub-Zero. I don't know if you remember them, Robert. It was an ice cream shop that was on, and no one ended up investing. And one of the franchises just opened up locally where I live in Minneapolis. I think I've eaten there 7 times. And it's just like, I don't, you know, first it was curious. I'm not really much of an ice cream guy, but because I saw it on TV, it's like, I'll stop there. I have friends that have bought a variety of products that have been on there. It's just the awareness that these products get. It's primetime infomercial.
Well, you know, that's so well said. I got to tell you, yesterday I was trying to explain to my 17-year-old daughter, because I'm forcing her to work with me for a couple of weeks during the summer. So I was forcing her to learn what sales and margin and cost of goods are. And her eyes were rolling right over.
Right.
But her friends love watching Shark Tank.
Exactly.
But if I went to her friends and said, "Hey guys, let me teach you a little bit about business," they, you know, the eyes would roll and they'd start fidgeting and leave the room. But on their own, they're watching Shark Tank. I sometimes feel the great thing about our show is we're teaching people about business who, A, either never had access to it or would find it so boring they wouldn't want to learn it.
Right.
And, you know, that's the challenge, because when I was that age, I never wanted to be a business guy. I didn't understand anything about business. I found it boring. I didn't want to go into it. And I think that's the great thing. We're showing people that you can be successful, you can make a lot of money, or even just take care of your family by doing something that you're great at.
Well, I agree with you there. And I also, as I always like to say, you know, in my own talks, is that it's all about passion. Having passion for the product or the event or venture that you represent. So when you get knocked down on the canvas in business, so you have the ability to get up and grab onto that passion and go through those hard times to get where you're going to be. And, you know, they say the top 1% make all the money, but I have a theory where we all dream about where we want to be. 98% of us stay dreamers, 2% put it into action. Those are the people that eventually become the leaders and the money makers to whatever extent in business. And going on Shark Tank, like you mentioned, whether you have a successful business you're looking for, good entrepreneurs, good business people should be willing to give up part of their business to advance. It's the old story by, I think Getty said this, where I'd rather have 1% of 100 people's efforts than 100% of my own, you know, and then you'd make more money. So it's all simple theories. I believe all business is the same. It's just the product that's different and the application of theories and marketing. And you're a big asset to that. And thank God that, you know, as a role model in business that you guys have this show, because I think, like you just said, I was always interested in business when I was younger. I had my first company when I was 19. But the average person isn't. But you can actually wet the taste and give them a little taste of what is out there. I just love the show, Robert. I really do. Barring the fact that we're friends, I love the show.
You know, it really is a great show. I have to tell you, one of the great things that people always say to me is, I'm never going to be successful in business because I don't have a big school. You know, my parents weren't business people. I don't come from that background. And I think the one thing we do on the show is we show people that it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how we all got to this day, this exact moment in life. It's all about where we're going. And I'm pretty good friends with Sean Pearson, that you met, the fighter.
Yeah, the fighter that fought in Winnipeg.
in Winnipeg. Yes. And, you know, he came back to me with me on the plane, and he had a great quote that I want to share with you, which is, you know, sometimes in life, you're the hammer, and sometimes you're the nail.
Very true.
People always think being successful is about the highs. And in business, you make way, way more mistakes than you have wins. You got to learn how to do both. You are going to get knocked down way more than you're going to win. It's just about being able to get up again until the fight is over.
Absolutely correct. And this is why when I play poker, when I do business, and I preach this myself, in business, you have to have a fighter's mentality. I'm not talking about throwing the physical punches and kicks. I'm talking about, as you just mentioned and you're going into, is the mental aspects of fighting and surviving in the business world. If you're not a fighter and you're not willing to fight, you might ask yourself, should you really sit down and play this game? You know, what are you a follower or are you a leader? You know, we need followers. The world is like a pyramid. And I'm sure you agree with this, Robert. You've got yourself as a CEO on top, your VPs, your managers, all the way down to the people that ship your product and, you know, drive the cars to get them there, which make up the base. Everybody is just as important as everybody else, but they need good leadership, and not everybody can be a leader. Otherwise, we'd have nobody to do the, you know, the other necessary work. But you got to be a fighter no matter what to survive in this game. It's dog eat dog out there. There's no niceness. When it happens, enjoy it. But in reality, the people being nice, they want all the chips you have on the table. You agree?
I agree. And you know, my dad used to say to me, because I used to say, how am I going to learn that? How am I going to learn that? How am I going to learn this? How am I going to learn that? And he said, you're going to go out, you're going to get your hands dirty, and you're just going to learn. So if you're not willing to get your hands dirty, don't get into the fight.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about fighting in the UFC. I don't want to keep you on too much longer. I know you're a busy man. But TJ, you got another question for,
yeah,
for Robert?
Robert, I'm just curious what the vetting process is for these companies that want to pitch their ideas, and if it's happened before, or how often does it happen where someone will come in, talk a big game, make a deal, and then, you know, maybe a little more research is done after the pitch, and, you know, you find out that they maybe exaggerated a bit on their numbers, and the deal, you know, actually falls apart.
Well, that's a great question, TJ. We don't do that vetting.
Mm-hmm.
And as the show becomes more popular, I hate to admit it, but most of the time when the deals don't close in due diligence, it's because of that. People wake up and say, gee, you know, I don't want to close anymore. And we try to avoid that, and we try to do everything in our power to make it happen, but sometimes you just don't know. You know, the producers are making a TV show.
Right.
We're using our own money. And another reason the show works is you can tell on TV, when we all think that this is a real opportunity, we don't care what the TV people want to do. When it's my cash, it's my decision. And we are fully engaged.
You know, with that being said too, TJ, one thing listeners should realize, and I know you probably realize yourself understanding entertainment world, when they're doing their pitches on the show, we see them on the TV show for 5 to 10 minutes. And Robert, those pitches, what I noticed the other day, they last an average of about a good 30 minutes or more. You know, and you got to edit that down to get to the meat of it for the TV. Would you say the average time a person's up there, you know, pitching themselves is a good 30-minute, 25-minute meeting or longer?
I would say it's probably about 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, the longest was almost 2 hours.
Wow.
The shortest ever was 25 minutes.
Wow. Okay, that pretty well spells it out right there. Now, with your fighting attitude, and you are a fighter, I mean that in a mental aspect. I don't know if I could see the nice Robert Herjavec, you know, throwing a punch into somebody's face, but I'm sure you would if you had to. Robert, you're a fan of the UFC. I've seen you at a couple of shows. We've communicated a lot about the UFC. Just give us an idea. What is it you love about the UFC, and an example of, you know, a few of your favorite fighters and why? We'd really like to know.
Yeah, my son, who's now 19, got me into UFC about 4 years ago. And, you know, like a good dad, anything my son loves, I try to take an interest in. And my view was, yeah, you know, it's not really a sport, it's violent, all this other stuff. And I got hooked the very first time I went. I mean, I'm a armchair athlete to try to take care of myself. I work out, I push myself. These guys are such incredible athletes. Sometimes I hang out with people and they say, oh, you know, they're just fighters. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean, just fighters? I think the UFC guys are probably the top athletes in the world. To fight at that level of intensity for that long, is unbelievable. And if you look at the conditioning, the strength, the training, it's such a commitment. I love the discipline. I mean, I love the discipline that these people put themselves through in order to achieve a goal. And the other thing I really love about it is there's no BS. You know, as GSP said to me, I had dinner one night with GSP, and he said, everybody talks a good game, and everybody has a great game plan until you get hit in the face.
You never know what it's like until you're hit in the face, Robert. In life and in business, you got to be punched to understand what it's like to fight back.
And you know, how do you not admire that? I mean, that guy is out there. He spent months of his life dedicated to this single task. He's put it all out on the line. And the only thing between him and his dream and his goal is the guy across from him. I mean, talk about human drama. Love it.
Hey, Robert, I got to ask you, being a smart businessman that you are, you obviously know a little bit about marketing. You know, following the sport of mixed martial arts for a living, we've seen markets, you know, boom and sort of simmer down. I think the United States is kind of on that downswing. Maybe it's kicking back up a little bit as far as popularity for the UFC goes, but it's not near what Brazil is or Australia. And Canada's remained pretty constant. Can you tell us, you know, what is your thoughts on the Canadian culture? Why is MMA so big there, and why is it, you know, not really dip at all?
You know, I think part of it is it's relatively new in Canada. So if you look at the how long the market's been around in the States and the amount of UFC events, is it a saturated market? I don't know if I would say it's saturated, but there's certainly more events. There's still an element of excitement and exclusivity about the events in Canada. There isn't one every week. It seems to me sometimes that, you know, the fighting's on Fox now. There's an event, there's a major event all the time now. And I think we don't have that in Canada. There's still an excitement and an aura of these fights. I mean, Brazil, the South Americans just love that market. And they've got a lot of homegrown fighters. So I think that's easy. But in Canada, you know, we have a few fighters, but it's still very, very popular up here. There's, you know, Winnipeg, as Bruce will tell you, sold out in no time and continues to do well.
Yeah, and rabid. You know, 20,000 Canadian fans sound like 40. I mean, we get that in different areas that we go to. I agree with you there in many respects. Robert, you know what? You go to the south of France. We're going to change a little tune here. You go to the south of France at all? Do you enjoy the south of France?
I love it. I just came back from Capri and Sorrento and all those places. Love it there.
Well, you heard about what happened at the one of my favorite hotels in the world, the Ritz-Carlton in Cannes, France, in the south of France.
$25 million jewelry heist.
It was originally reported at $52, and now it's gone up to $136 million.
Wow.
Wow. And where's the security, Robert? The guy walks in with a hood and a hat and a scarf and a semi-automatic pistol and threatens to shoot the exhibitors and walks out with $136 million in jewels and jewelry, and now they can't even find him. It's the biggest robbery ever. It blows my mind how simple things like that still happen. It's like a movie.
Well, I'm in the electronic cyber security world, and I know it's really complicated. So you're right. I can't comprehend how a guy does a physical act of security like that and gets away with it. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So what are you going to do to make your, 100,000 before 3 o'clock after you get off the show? What is the rest of the day for Robert Herjavec? What do you do for your day on the average? Are you always on the phone dealing and wheeling or what?
It's a lot of conference calls. It's a lot of customer issues. And that's the hard thing. You know, I went back to where I was a stay-at-home dad for 3 years, went back to work 10 years ago. First year we did 400,000 in sales with three guys. We'll finish at close to 160 million this year. We're about 175 people, and I'm just looking at about an $80 million acquisition, as we speak. So it's a lot of work. The bigger you get, the more stuff that you don't want to deal with that has to be dealt with.
Well, that's a good, solid businessman. We'll call you a maverick at the same time, a term I really love attaching to a quality name. Robert, really appreciate your coming on the show. Really appreciate the growing friendship, and look forward to seeing you around the Octagon next time we're over there in Canada, if not before.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you so much. Right, we wish you all the success. Thanks for everything, Robert. Very special to have you on the show today.
Bye-bye. There he is. What a nice guy. What a nice guy.
Very, very nice guy. I mean, in the many times I've had the pleasure of talking to him on the phone or being around him, he's never changed his momentum, his mode. You know, he's always the same, which is a quality individual when you think about it. You want to take a break real quick?
Nope.
Ah, okay. Well, let's go forward. TJ, you better be a little careful. Did you hear about this with your son and I guess with ourselves too? Did you hear about the brain-eating amoeba that's out there?
Oh, my God, yeah. I knew that someone was in critical condition from it. This was from a few days ago.
It's a 12-year-old girl, TJ.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old girl. She's surviving an infection. She's in critical condition. She's hanging on. And basically, she had a fever and a headache. You know, you always worry about when your kid gets a fever and a headache.
Yeah.
They checked her spinal fluid, and they found this microscopic amoeba. I can't quite pronounce it. Naegleria, filaria, whatever. But here's the thing. It enters the body through the nose and travels to the brain, which obviously is a direct line. It's usually found in people that have been swimming in warm, fresh water. What does that say? Fresh water.
Yeah, that's like a lake.
Yeah, like a lake. So, I mean,
I'm supposed to go to a lake this weekend.
Well, I'm not trying to blow your weekend or anything like that, but
maybe I'll stay out of the water.
You know, it's amazing how these things just come about. Brain eating. I've heard of flesh eating disease, but brain eating disease. Oh, this poor girl.
And then you wonder. The end of the world as we know it, Bruce.
I know. But then, you know, you wonder, well, the end of the world will be these microorganisms. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be dinosaurs coming back and walking the face of the earth. But, you know, it's scary. Did you see that movie Contagion?
Oh, yeah.
Did that freak you out a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Movies like that always freak me out. Do you remember the film Congo?
Yes, I do.
Mid-90s, and same kind of thing. It's just like, you know, what's going to happen? Or the movie Outbreak.
Outbreak, right? That was with Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by those things because, you know, any of that stuff could happen at any time.
Anytime. Speaking of another thing that could happen at any time, I don't know if it could happen at any time, but they had another situation where the California ex-wife, she was sentenced for cutting off her husband's you-know-what.
Why? You know, what possesses you to go there?
I just saw it in the news here. I wonder if she got mad, she's going to go to jail. Let's see what they gave her. Hold on. Let me see what they gave her. Da-da-da-da. This is usually a question for Sammy, but we'll have Sammy on next month.
Whatever it wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't enough. So do you think life imprisonment or execution or just 20 years and get out?
I don't know. I mean, that ruins a man's life. So,
all right, here it is. She cut it off. She threw it in a garbage disposal. She was given a life.
Oh, the garbage disposal.
She hit the garbage disposal. At least Lorena threw it out in a field, and they were able to tack it back onto that guy who went on to do porno, if you remember that one.
Oh, I do.
She was given a life sentence Friday. This is amazing. She got a life.
Wait, she's getting a life sentence for this?
A life sentence Friday with the possibility of parole after 7 years. How does that work together? I'm sentencing you to life, but you could be out in 7 years.
She'll be out. She'll be out in 10 years. She'll be out definitely in less than 15. Yeah, I don't know, Bruce. You definitely need a psychic, or not a psychic, but a psychological examination when something like that happens. So I don't know. I don't think I could do anything to piss my wife off that much.
I agree. And speaking of psychological observations, one cool thing that I realized during our interview with Robert, that's interesting. I never would have thought of that. They are actually interviewed by a psychologist or psychiatrist after they walk off stage.
I get it, because you see some of those people under extreme duress when they're pitching their entire life's dream to, you know, five people that, you know, can make or break them.
Yep. I agree. Next thing. The FBI crackdown, and I'm very happy to see this. And this is another example why we talk about the three things, you know, we talk about on the show that should be legalized in this country, you know, prostitution, marijuana, and online poker. You know how we discuss that once in a while?
Yep.
Here's an example of the prostitution. The FBI has nabbed down, which damn happy they did, pimps, and they rescue children.
Yeah.
They rescued mostly teenage girls, obviously from broken homes where no one, you know, misses them. You know, drugs and abuse, emotional, physical is all part of the deal. And then they're forced to sell their bodies. Well, they had a nationwide operation over the weekend, 150 arrests and rescuing, shall we say, 105 children between the ages of 13 and 17. 105 children.
You're not going to have those problems if it's regulated. I mean, you might still have those problems, but I don't think you're going to have that big of a crackdown really necessarily needed. And obviously, anybody in that position, it should be rectified and fixed. But I think, you know, you and I have talked about it. I think when you add regulation, you start making it a more, you know, above the belt, no pun intended, business. Things are just going to clean themselves up.
Absolutely. And again, the disease issue is taken hopefully off the track because they're tested. The money gets taxed. The government makes out from it. And hopefully it would stop, you know, these situations where they kidnap these kids and they threaten to kill their parents in many cases, yeah. Or the kids are just screwed up to begin with. And they basically become slaves, sex slaves in this country. It's disgusting. And I was happy to hear at least this one part. Whether it makes a dent in the issue or not, that's another story. Just like, you know, arresting a major drug bust or something, does it really make a dent in the overall problem? But at least they're doing something. Thank God they're doing something. And on the collector's end, God, a Mercedes car sold for $30 million, TJ.
What? What year? Yeah,
very cool. So it looks like an old 1954 Mercedes model W196.
Zero miles?
No, I don't know about this race car, so take it from there.
Okay, got it.
$30 million. Jeez Louise, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's
another one. That's just staggering. By the way, in that auction of entertainment, I told you that Steve McQueen's coat from Bullet, the movie you may or may not have seen, is going for $800,000.
Yep.
I know you've seen The Sound of Music.
I watched parts of it in grade school because we were forced to.
All right. Well, you know that famous scene where Julie Andrews, you know, the hills are alive with The Sound of Music. You know, she's doing the pirouettes up there on top of the mountain. It's a famous scene you see all the time in vignettes if you're watching the Oscars or something. Anyway, the dress that she wore in that scene, along with the dresses for the boys and the girls, about 10 of the kids were taken care of, $1.2 million. Who buys these things?
I have no idea. Yourself.
Well, I could answer it. Tons. There's a lot of money out there, TJ. Everybody talks about it, but it's that top 1% money, but there's a lot of money out there, you know, buying these kind of things. And again, you have collectibles, even those round five action figures the UFC fans collect. I know what's happened with mine because they only made 1,000 of them, and I'm sure that others are even doing much, much better because, you know, they're fighters, and that's what everybody's after, not the announcer. But save that stuff. And the real trick, folks, when you're doing that, do not take it out of the box. Do not open the box.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You don't really want to play with it, do you? Come on. You're not 4 years old, people. Unless you're 4 years old, then take it out of the box and have fun with it.
I did buy three, and I've got the little round five, you know, little Buffy here sitting on my desk.
Did you take him out?
Yeah, I took him out.
It's different. It's you.
It's me. Well, yeah.
That's all right.
What are you saying? Playing with myself, TJ?
You're definitely playing with yourself.
Thank you very much for that. But anyway, the kids, my godsons came up here, and they're down with the big octagon. I bought them down in their mom's office, and they're playing Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture, Rampage Jackson.
That's something, though. You bought those for, you know, entertainment. You didn't buy them for collecting, essentially, or you were given them and you expressly, you know, gave them to the kids. By the way, all the stars you just named, Tito Ortiz, Quentin Jackson, Randy Couture, none of them with the UFC anymore. It's kind of weird how that works out.
I know. That's how it works out. But I bought more than one, TJ.
Got it.
I bought the collectible ones that are on the shelf and in the closets, and then I've got the ones that are made for just, you know, having fun.
So I have a confession. I have a confession to make.
Go ahead.
I was given a pack of round five action figures. One of them was you.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it away.
Is that because you don't like me?
No, I just I gave it away to an old call screener. He had a really good Bruce Buffer impersonation.
Oh, that was very nice of you.
Yeah, but now I'm kind of wishing I had it. What can you do?
Well, the latest eBay stats that I've seen, when you look, you know, look up any fighter on eBay, they're always selling something. Right. If you care to look up,
what's
yours
a buffer
truly.
Going for?
Originally sold for $39.95. Now it's going for basically $80. If I sign it, it could go for $100.
Son of a bitch.
And they sell.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, they do sell. No question. I'm about to possibly. This week or next, when I get back from Rio, I've got so many things here, but I'm going to put some of my cards on eBay and signed program and stuff from one of the big shows, maybe the Anderson Silva show. I got a few different programs, which were very special, numbered programs. Did you see those?
Oh, yeah, I got one, yep.
Yeah, save that, because that retailed at $50.
Yeah, I'm not taking it out of the thing. Would you sign that one for me?
Yeah, of course I will.
That'd be cool.
Of course I will. Get everybody to sign, as many as you can. Get Lorenzo Dana. Get everybody you can to sign that. I guarantee you that's going to be a very...
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm a member of the media, quote-unquote.
Well, you can't ask somebody to side.
You're different. You're different. You're partial. I got to be impartial. I can ask you to sign it because we're business partners, quote unquote. I can't be going up to people that I cover for a living and say, "Hey, will you sign my program?"
Maybe I'm just I guess I am kind of a media guy, but I mean,
you're not a media guy. Sorry, Buff.
Not like you are. I would have I have no problem doing that because to me, I look at it from a collector standpoint. But I will tell you that program for anybody out there that was lucky to get one of the only 2,700 they produce, and each one is numbered.
Oh, that's it, huh?
2,700. Wow. Each one's numbered. And with that being said, here's an example of a UFC collectible. I'll go back to the first issue of Topps Cards. The first issue went out at $60 a box. You can't even buy that box now for less than something like $600 to $700 or more. Okay,
right.
That program, which is the only one that's ever been released based on an exact number, a minimum amount made. I predict in 2 years, with proper signings on it, you're looking at a program that's going to cost over $200.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I got it. Yeah, they gave it away. A copy to every media member, and that's where I got mine. But they needed to see your credential. They marked your name off. I mean, they weren't just sitting there in a stack. I mean, they were very strict about who they were giving them to, as far as anybody's concerned, even the media and fighters and everybody alike.
Yeah, well, good. Now, see, that's nice. See, this is where the UFC does a very good job, both for the fans and, I have to say, after all the stuff that Sherdog went through over the years that you've told me about. But how's the treatment these days, TJ?
It's great, Bruce. It couldn't be any better.
All right, you shill. That was a good answer. TJ shilling. Caught him. All right. Sounds good. All right, TJ, I've got to go take care of stuff. I've got to get my fight cards done. I got to get my buns over to Brazil.
Do your thing. Usually, I'll leave it up to you, but usually when you do these international trips that are that far and the jet lag and all that wonderful stuff, we don't do a show on Tuesday, so I'm counting on not doing a show next Tuesday unless told otherwise by yourself.
We will not be doing a show on Tuesday. The reason why we'll be not doing a show on Tuesday, I'll tell you real quick.
Are you still in Brazil?
I do not leave Brazil till Monday, and I do not get back here to LAX, the United States. Actually, we could. I get back at 10:08 in the morning. Can we make that call next week?
No, we're not doing it. If you get 10:08 in the morning, the day of the radio program, you're not doing it 2-3 hours later. I'm not going to let you do that to yourself. You'll overextend yourself. You'll be tired. You'll sound like crap. No offense. I don't want to stretch you too thin, Mr. Buffer.
No offense taken. I'll go with that. Just for those listening, understand that I was willing to make the effort, dedicate myself.
Fault.
But I have been ordered there will be no show, and I have to listen to my producer who has all the technological welfare and wherewithal to make this happen. So there will be no show next week.
Sometimes it's offensive, and you can call it technological warfare, but generally, I think we're good.
No offense taken, TJ.
Perfect.
It's all good. All right. We'll take a little break for a couple weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition of It's Time Radio. And TJ, thanks very much. I will see you from the Octagon in Rio de Janeiro. I'm looking forward to getting down there, signing books, signing the new Portuguese books. Can't wait to see one of these myself. All right, TJ, thanks very much. Everybody, have a great week. Show respect to others as you wish to be respected yourself. Buffer out. Take care.
It's Time with Bruce Buffer is a TJ DeSantis production. Its content is intended for private use only.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Safeway. Exciting news! Safeway, Chevron, and Texaco are offering even more savings at the pump. Now through September 8th, shop at Safeway and redeem up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards at participating Chevron and Texaco stations and at Safeway fuel stations. Shop Safeway this week and earn up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards. This is Stephanie from Safeway, and we'll see you soon. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is $1 per gallon in a single fill-up, up to 25 gallons for a limited time. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details in-store or at Safeway.com.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.